Yeah, so let's talk about loss.
Welcome to the Inspiro Podcast, a podcast exploring personal growth, leadership, strategy, communication, and fulfillment. We are your hosts, Jason Luchterfeld and Bill Woodburn. I'm here as a dentist, transitioning into a career to help facilitate individuals and their organizations towards a more fulfilling future.
Hi there, I'm Bill Woodburn, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and licensed marriage and family therapist in Austin, Texas. I'm fascinated by the way people come together to solve problems, whether that's couples or families, dental practices or organizations. We're going to be exploring a lot of topics, and for us to be able to be free to do that, I have to let you know that this is not intended to be dental advice or counseling advice.
Full transparency, this topic came up because I had to put one of my dogs down on March 19th. And that process was more interesting to me than I expected. Interesting and emotional. Yes. Because we've been preparing for it for over a year, because he's old and all of that. We were, and it had a close call in the fall of last year. Knew it was coming. So when it finally was, knew it was time, it was fairly unemotional until the day of. And then it was really emotional for about 24 hours. So as I thought about that, I thought, we have different types or intensities of loss, because I remember in practice, I would have that sense of loss when a patient would say they were going to go somewhere else.
Yes.
So losing a patient or a team member said,
yes,
I don't want to work here. Those are types of loss.
Yeah.
When I mentioned this to my wife, she said, what about when you lose your favorite pair of running shoes? Yeah, that's loss as well.
Well, and I'm going to give that a particular name. I think there is the loss of the talisman, of that thing that connects us to an activity or connects us to a memory. I was with a friend who was grieving the fact that due to a computer glitch, they lost the photos of their child before about 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that doesn't actually do anything for you practically. Oh, but emotionally, as a connection to that child's early days and those experiences, those photos were incredibly important.
Yes. All the way up to losing a loved one.
Sure.
Right. So that's kind of my, I don't know, hierarchy.
Sure. Well, I got a couple of points to make already that are
great.
Are just for me sort of anchor points. One, both personally and professionally, I don't think we can prepare for loss. I think we prepare for the logistics of loss, you know, but not for the event itself. We can make it go smoother, but that does not seem to change the emotions on it very much.
Yeah.
The other is that loss is losing at least a couple things. We're losing that thing or that person. But then we're losing the future with that thing or person at the same time. So, I've had clients leave, particularly if it's like partway through. And I miss them because I cared about them. But we also had this thing we were working toward. And I'm never going to finish that. And it's like, oh, now I've lost that too. You lose a loved one and it's like, yeah, but what about the years I could have had? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not just one thing that you're losing.
So on your first point, you can work through the logistics, but never fully prepare. And I wonder how much this varies based on a person's ability or capacity for empathy. So with people that can empathize more, do they have the ability to pre-experience that more deeply or more accurately than somebody with less empathy?
My knee-jerk reaction is technically yes, but I'm not sure it helps in the moment.
Okay.
Loss, I think, particularly the loss we're talking about, is usually a very personal experience. Even if it's like losing your favorite running shoes, it's nobody else's favorite running shoes. You know, they don't care. They can't really care the way you care. And so in a way, it's a very personal, slightly isolated experience.
Yeah, because it's going to be completely subjective from person to person. And what impacts you is going to impact me differently. And I guess that was the biggest surprise for me, was the difference I felt in the moment, because it had been talked through, talked about, planned for, and all of that. I thought I had run through all of that already, mentally. And so then getting in there and experiencing it, it was like, oh, I didn't know this was going to hit. I didn't know I was going to feel this at this moment.
Sure. And, you know, that speaks to a broader thing, that there's no amount of intellectual work we can do that keeps us from having the emotional experience or keeps us from the emotional work. I mean, is it good to have some planning? Oh, absolutely. Not saying you shouldn't be intellectual about things and think about them. I think that's marvelous. But that other piece is, oh, and therefore I won't have to experience this, or I won't have to feel this. No, you don't get off that easy.
You know, that's a great point. It doesn't stop us from having to do the emotional work. It might prepare us a little bit, but it doesn't prevent that still from having to be addressed.
Yes.
So what happens if we don't? What happens if we try to just ignore or block or hide that?
The experience?
That feeling we have, like, rather than sharing it. Like, for me, it was comforting to be able to, well, there was a very caring vet there that was really helpful.
Yeah.
And then I was able to share it openly with my wife when I got home. We were apart in different parts of the country, so it was on Zoom, but it was still something that I could let that out. I could communicate what I went through, and that was helpful. So some people aren't comfortable doing that. So what happens if we don't share that, if we don't process that emotion or do the work?
Sure. A couple of things. Number one is, it may just happen anyway. Many years ago, the young guy, he was a VP at a high-tech company, came in to see me. And he said, I really need some help. His wife had died about 2-3 weeks before. And he'd gone back to work. And he was working, and he was at a fast-paced job. And then one day, in the middle of a meeting, he just started sobbing uncontrollably. And he couldn't stop. And they left somebody there with him, but they moved the meeting. So, I mean, they tried to give him some space and whatever. And I said, well, you're not playing fair with your feelings. You didn't make a time for them. So they're just going to hold out until they can't hold out anymore. And then they're just going to, here it is. So my assignment for him was, let's make a deal with your emotions, with this process. Every night, or every day, pick a time of the day that you're going to think about your wife and you're going to cry. And you can look at pictures or whatever. I mean, that's all technique. But he said after dinner for an hour, you know, I think about my wife, I look at pictures, I cry. He said, it was amazing. I didn't have that pressure Like it was building up. Like it was like my insides understood that we had this deal that we'll process it at home in private after work, so we don't have to process it during the day. And he says, as long as he kept to his side of the bargain, his insides sort of kept to his side of the bargain. And so this process happens, and we can make some alterations about time and but we can't just say we're not going to do it, particularly grief.
And I assume that'll show up differently for different people. So he finally hit a release valve of sobbing in a meeting, but some people might lash out in anger, or some
Sure.
people, it could have different presentations,
But the
I
other piece
assume.
that we're working on here is, I notice if for folks that avoid the grief work, they become so frightened of loss. Like any little things, like no. And they start to over control like mad. I can't afford to lose. Oh, I'm just talking to someone. I can't afford to lose another team member. That hurts so bad. I can't afford. And I said, but you can't prevent him from going, but he was working so hard. And I'll just make this, and I'll give him a bonus, and I'll make it so they can't leave. It's like, wait a minute. We're well into over control here of something that, in fact, you don't have control over. But that's so common. One of the other classics is, I'll never buy another pet because I don't want to go through that. I'll never love anybody else. I'll never try for that grad school or that project, or I'll never pick up a paintbrush again. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's about fear. And that's one of the fears there is, I can't lose it if I never want it. And so I'll just stop wanting everything. And you can do that for a while, 6 months, a year, whatever. But at some point, they look at me and say, all the colors in life are sort of muted, and I just don't really care about anything. And I'm just, life is kind of dull. I was like, well, yeah, because what makes life exciting and interesting is all the things we care about. But all the things we care about are all things we could lose.
Yeah, you have to leave yourself open to loss in order to experience fully the highs.
There's a lovely quote by Samuel Johnson. He was a diarist, an essayist in 17th century England. And he said, he who has a family gives hostages to fortune. If you've ever cared about someone, it's like, oh well, now I am prey to what the world decides happens next. Because I can't cover everything, I can't protect everything. I could be blindsided. And the more people you love, the more exposed you are.
Yeah. I want to go down that tangent for a second in the work environment. I've seen this since you brought it up. It reminded me of this that I've seen this multiple times now and went through it myself, where you lose a couple people sequentially, and now you're afraid of losing more. And so you start to relax your values. You start to relax your criteria for what makes a good employee a good employee,
Well,
and
I'll
whether you
say
should
the
keep them or not.
criteria shifts to whether they're going to leave or not, not whether they do the job or not.
That's right. But you start giving in. You start letting people come in late to work or leave early or not do certain procedures, or you start giving control where there shouldn't be control given because you're trying to satisfy something that ultimately can't be satisfied. That
Well,
there is.
you're scared. You're scared. What? Because particularly loss is sometimes so inexplicable. I mean, we sometimes have an explanation, but really, why did this have to happen is always lurking in the background. So, it's like, well, I'll just control everything, or I'll make sure I never say anything to a team member that could possibly upset them or could possibly make them. And that's a spiral that tightens. It's like, well, I, you know, that last one, you know, this, we had that thing with money. So I just won't mention money to the team. Well, but wait a minute. I can't mention consumables because that's about money. So I can't mention consumables either. Well, I can't mention production because production actually relates to, you know, and pretty soon it's like, well, what part of a dental practice can you now talk about if you don't want it to eventually lead around to money?
So how do we, what is a tactic for addressing that?
Which piece?
Let's start with that one. So we're afraid that we're going to lose another employee. And so how do we find the courage to maintain, to keep interviewing and interviewing and interviewing and holding ground? Like, where can we go for that strength, or how do we remind ourselves to hold the path?
I think there are a couple of things. One is that we have to recognize it as grief and as fear, not as, well, I just didn't offer enough money, or I hired the wrong people, or I mean, there can be some of that, but that loss that you're feeling, that loss that is unsettling, is about the loss. I mean, there are other parts to it, but we have to recognize that, wait, no, there was a loss here. Well, it was just a team member. Well, yeah, but that's a loss. And not to explain it away or whatever, and just admit, yeah, this patient all of a sudden decided that they're just moving on and they're not going to be part of our practice. Well, it's just a patient. No, there's a little piece of loss there. You know, that's a piece. And so recognize that's what we're dealing with, and it's not something else that we necessarily have to fix. Might be a piece of it. Oh, the other one is, I'm probably going to say this several times, there is a grief process inside human beings that is remarkably robust and remarkably automatic. And it's like the healing process on a cut or something. We don't have to sit there and focus on it. How I'm going to get my body to heal this cut. If we just take care of the cut, it starts to heal on its own. You know, grief is like that too. You know, if we just don't poke at it too much, if we let it do what it's trying to do, you know, I may feel sad. I may look at something as simple as a note they wrote or whatever, and have that little twinge. And maybe I should just have that little twinge. Maybe that's part of the healing process. You know, maybe I should let these feelings unfold, because these feelings are part of the healing process, just like, you know, you always tell the patient, well, this could be pain for a little while, you know, take some long. Yeah, I mean, healing process, there's a little bit of pain, but you don't freak out about it because you know that's part of the process, and it's going to get better.
That's an interesting way to frame it, like a wound. So you could have, and this goes back to my first way I started out, having kind of this hierarchy. So let's apply that to a cut or worse. So a little cut, some attention, keep it clean, you're good. But you get in a massive chainsaw accident and lose your hand. That's a different healing process.
Sure.
And
And
so,
some of it is about how much gets pushed out of balance.
yeah.
A cut, once I've got it clean, I got a band-aid on, my life pretty much goes on. I mean, I go off to work. I do what I do. Is but yeah, chainsaw accident, and now at least for a while I can't walk, or now my life is really out of balance, and that's gonna really affect it, because again, life is affected. It becomes I can't get myself back in balance either. You know, sort of metaphorically or even sometimes literally.
There you have it. our first episode, digging into the concept of loss in a number of ways. Next episode, we'll be looking at something Bill mentioned in that episode, that is, what's it feel like when we feel like we've lost the future or something about the future with someone. So stay tuned for that. That should be out next week. Cheers.